Jenny's already prayed, but I'd like to pray again just briefly. Lord, I do thank you so much that you are such a wonderful God. And Lord, I just pray that all the things that I share, Lord, if they're not to be remembered, just erase them from their mind. I just pray that it will edify and build us up in our faith and help us to be faithful to you, Lord. We thank you. Guide me and direct me. In Jesus' name. I studied so many things, you know, the Lord is so good. One thing I planned at first was to talk about the lion and the lamb, and my message would have been built on your message, but you know, the Lord took that away and said, no, don't share that. And so I prepared something else in the last few days, and I call it a new life, a new will. And first I thought it was just a little brief time of just thinking about your new life. We all started with a new life when we accept Jesus. And in fact, I listed 7 things that happened to me. And the first was a new life. And then we have a new relationship and a new way of thinking. We get new hungers, you know, for scripture, for fellowship, a new purpose to please God, to be more like him. And a new will, and also, you know, a new vocation or a new mission. That was number 6. And then 7 is a new will. And they're the things that need to take place in all of our lives. And I think you can identify with them, and we could stop right here and go around the room, and everybody could share about something like that. And of course, all of those is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And it's an ongoing thing. We don't stay where our relationship grows, our way of thinking grows. We just continue to grow and mature in the Lord. And of course, as the body of Christ, God is so wonderful. He gives us so much. He gives us gifts. You know, he gives us gifts of help and service, and we want to love one another and help one another. And we've seen that all this weekend. You know, God is so good. We all have Christ in us, and he gives us the incentive to help build his church and to love one another and to help one another. And it's wonderful. It's so important. But I felt like the scripture, whoever has Romans 12:2.
Is it Romans?
Romans 12:2. After we become a Christian.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
He wants us to be able to be more and more in his will, not our will. We do have free will, but there's also a divine will, and that's what he's striving for in our lives, because our will gets in there so many times, you know, and they seem good sometimes, but it may not be from him. So I felt first I wanted to just review, what does the Bible say about his will, about Jesus' will? And so there are several scriptures that I feel like I need to read, and one of them is John 20, 21 and 22. Oh, no, don't read that yet. I'm sorry. I'm going to change it. No, John 14 to 17. Those whole sections are very, very important. And that is that's the three, well.
Do you want that read?
No, I don't want that read. That's too much to read. I'm sorry. What I really need to be read right now is, if I can find it. Okay. I'd like someone to read John 6, verses 38 to 40. This tells us what God's will is. Somebody have John 6, 38 to 40.
Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet.
That's John 6, 38 to 40.
Yeah. 37, I don't know if you want 37, it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And then it goes into that.
What did you have? What did you think
that was where it explained what God's will was, according to Jesus saying what God's will was. But I don't know what happened there.
Huh. Probably it was a little wrong number or something.
Well, I mean, his will is to come to Jesus, like thirst after Jesus.
I think it's mine.
It's pardon?
I think it's mine.
Okay, what is yours?
John 5:30.
Yeah, that's another one I had. Okay.
I can do nothing on my own initiative.
Yes.
As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Yeah, that was the other one. But there was one, I don't have my scripture right now, but I thought of it was where it said that he explained what God's will was and what his will was. But well, we all know that. But to begin with, of course, we had to be born again for any of this to start to happen and have this relationships changing, like we said. Okay. Now, I really wanted to concentrate mostly on... Yes, did you read the wrong thing?
I read John 7.
I knew something was wrong.
I was so excited. I'm like, I was just thinking about this verse.
I knew it was not right. John 6:38-40.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will.
Yes.
Wait.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's it.
But to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day.
Yeah. That was one of my starting verses. I thought, I know I didn't get it. In fact, read it one more time. It's so important.
When she was reading it, I don't know, I'm like, Mike didn't say that.
One more time and listen to this.
Okay.
For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day.
So in that verse, he says what the Father's will is, he says what his will is, and he even refers to the Holy Spirit because he's the one at the end. So praise God. And then that one was what was going to be followed by John 5:30, which you've already read. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Maybe God wanted this one.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, but do you think God's will is being done today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In this room.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but I'm in the world, do you think it's being done?
Yes and no.
I think it is.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Like his death, yeah. Was his will.
Well,
things that we don't want, the things that are to come.
It's will that everybody be saved, really. Yeah, like in Peter, you know, it says, you know, he would like everybody to know the Lord. Unfortunately, we know that's not true.
There's a lot that does go.
There's a lot that's not true. It's not his will. It's not being happening. It's sad. But yet, there's so much to do. And I think the church was commissioned, the body of Christ, along with serving one another, serving the brethren, so to speak, and trying to serve those we love and be an example. But there's two other verses where, like Matthew 24:14.
I think that's me.
Yes.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Okay. So it hasn't been preached to the whole world yet. In fact, of course, we know there's even going to come a time when he's going to send the angels through. They're back and forth to preach to people, you know. But people said that that's one reason that Jesus certainly isn't ready to come yet, because it evidently in 1950, they decided, well, they didn't decide. They found out that actually only about, there was still half of the whole world that didn't even know the name Jesus in 1950. Mm-hmm. I mean, they never even heard the word about anybody by Jesus. And of course, I think that's changed some today because of social media. Thank the Lord. I think more people today probably know the name at least, but there's still many, many people out there that have never heard the name of Jesus, and they still don't know. And we're thankful for missionaries and people that have gone forth, but it hasn't gone through the whole world yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, they say, I was surprised about this, the research, about 40% is still unreached. The gospel, 40% of the globe, that's so much.
Yeah. And another statistic, which is so sad, that I just read last week, was that the United States, not just the United States, all of North America, America is the fourth largest area that is in need of mission work. I mean, that sounds terrible. We thought we were a Christian nation, really, but now, I mean, we're labeled as number four in the whole world as being necessary for mission work. And I think God has used this time with COVID and everything else to get the church's attention, because people aren't going to church anymore like they used to. I mean, there are some, but a lot of these small churches have closed down because people just don't go. They become an image-based society with a pluralistic mind. They'll take a little bit from this type of religion. They'll take a little bit from this type of religion. They've become plural and you know, whatever suits them. And now people don't think there's any absolutes. You know, whatever is good faith to you, whatever your culture teaches you, if that's your truth, that's fine, as long as you're a nice person. But that's not the gospel. And it's getting harder and harder to reach the young people because of that, because they haven't been exposed, you know, to the churches. But yet, another good thing, though, I just heard on Christian radio, was that now more Bibles were bought this past 2 years than have ever been bought. Mm-hmm. in the stores, you know, or ordered online. I think people are seeking, and that's good. That's wonderful. Praise God. That's wonderful. But they need people to help them and to teach them. And I think I don't know if I did give anybody that or not. Well, anyway, but I think our testimony is so important, and that was already mentioned, that our testimony is just how the Lord, what he's done in our life. And I think I even mentioned at one of the meetings that Satan hates that. I think Judy brought that out. Satan hates that because people can't deny your testimony. If you say, just list a bunch of facts about Jesus, they're going to say, oh, well, that's because you believe in that book that isn't necessarily true. That's just been written by man. You know what I mean? But if you share your testimony, and it should be something that we should want to share. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to think that, oh, guess what? I love God, and guess what he's done for me? But do we share it? We're more apt to share about what we did yesterday, or how we got this new recipe, or we went here and we had so much fun. We share about who won some ball game. They come out easy. But to share your testimony. And in fact, sometimes I listen to Bible teachers on social media. I can just put my tablet down and I can still work. Like Jonathan Kahn is one of my favorite, you know. I only listen to a few of them. But one of them said the other day that 94% of all Christians, only 94% have ever shared a gospel with somebody outside their church or outside their immediate family. 94% have never shared the gospel.
You said 94 or not even 4. What did you say? 94%
have not ever shared the gospel and tried to lead somebody to the Lord outside. You know, that's sad. I know we feel we have other gifts, and we feel like, you know, well, you know, that's not my gift to go out and talk and be an evangelist and all that kind of stuff. But some people believe that we're all supposed to be evangelists in our own way. It doesn't mean you have to go out and preach, but yet you can share your you can share your faith with somebody and what God's done for you. And that is a big seed planter, you know, and it might even lead people to the Lord. I mean, so in fact, I think that's what we're supposed to do. And I don't think we have any excuse as we grow it. Now, at first, you're not going to be that way. Do you know the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years? They watched him. They ate with him. They saw him do all these miracles. But it wasn't until just before he went to the cross that he really breathed on them. And I gave that scripture to somebody about how he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And that was before Pentecost. And then he told them to wait. And then the Holy Spirit would really come on them and they'd be able to go out. But there's several places where he even mentions that he's going to send them beforehand. Okay. Now read. Someone has, before that, that's, I'm sorry. I get talking and I get out of order. Okay. But Matthew, let's go back to Matthew 28:19-20.
That's me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
That was one of the last things he told them. But then there was one other last thing he told him. I think the very last thing that's recorded in Acts before he was taken up. And that's Acts 1:8. Did I give that to somebody? Did somebody look up Acts 1:8?
Here's the rest of the
Bible. Yeah.
Mine and nothing wrong.
Yeah, hers was blank for paper, so maybe that's what.
Oh.
Oops.
You go.
Yeah.
Acts 1:8. I can't say the name. But we shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even in the remotest parts of the earth.
Okay. Even though it's recorded in Matthew 28, go make sort of disciples. In Acts, just before he was taken up, that was the very last words that are recorded in our scriptures.
Can you read it again? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm sorry. She's just a little slow this morning.
I am. I didn't.
Sorry.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and even in the remotest part of the earth.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That includes Fridgeville.
Okay. Now, John 20, 21, and 22.
And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be with you. The Father has sent me, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
So he's sending them. He breathed on them with the Holy Spirit. Now, I always thought, well, you know, they had the Spirit, and I think when we become disciples, we certainly do. He's breathed into us. You know, to be born again, all of a sudden we're born in the Spirit, and so he's changed that Spirit within us for sure, and now we're wedded back to God, so to speak. But, and it wasn't until later, though, that they were literally filled with the Spirit, and then they really had the power to go out. But like I started to say a while ago, you know, 3 years they had been with him, and yet they still needed to really... They didn't know. They didn't understand. They thought he was going to, you know, just become the great ruler and conquer them, and they would be his helpers and all that. They didn't really understand. But all through the scriptures, he's talking beforehand that he's going to be sending them out, you know. And of course, if you John 14 all the way through 17 are so important, and we don't have time to read them here, but you need to read them and reread them and reread them, because it's all about, it's just all taking place one day before his crucifixion. See, the last things that he's trying to get across to the people, and he's talking about he's going to be leaving, but he's going to be sending them the Holy Spirit.
You won't pay me that long to read that.
Here, I'm talking about the whole, all the verses, 15, all the chapters.
You have John 14, 15 through 18 here.
Yeah, that's, okay, that's another, if you want to go ahead and read that.
Oh, okay, I thought that's what you were talking about. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you.
So if you keep his commandments, well, it seems to me he's commanding people to go forth, to do this, you know. And so, you know, if we love him, we want to please him. And we sometimes as we mature in our faith, we ought to get to that place where we want to do that, you know. I know when I was a baby Christian, I didn't find the Lord till I was really 30. I thought I was a Christian because I wasn't a Jew or a Buddhist or something like that. But we came back to Salisbury, and we moved in a neighborhood that was sort of mixed. A lot of things. There was a guy that killed a sheriff lived across the street. There was another prostitute that kept a red light in her window. I mean, these old houses around us had been converted into low-income housing, and we had a lot of undesirables. And so it was a mission field for me. And it became easy for me to share my faith because I didn't care what those people thought about me. You know, I really didn't. That's terrible to say. It was easier to share with them than it was with my peers because I was a people pleaser. I wanted people to like me. I didn't want people to think I was a religious fanatic. But I got so that it became a mission field, and it helped me. Because the more you share, the easier it is to share. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. It's true. And I remember the first time we went back to this Presbyterian church because I felt like they had failed me. And they didn't really tell me what it really meant to be a Christian because I found the Lord down in this Bible Belt. And when I went back, the first time I was given an opportunity to share in front of a women's group, I was so nervous, I literally wept. I was so nervous. And so maybe you feel that's what would happen to you if you try to share. But it's important. It's so important because God wants us to do it. He has, you know, he's preparing us for that. And Ephesians, the fourth chapter, you know, I don't know if I gave that to anybody, but we should be familiar with that, where it talks about the body of Christ and how there's some he's appointed to be, you know, apostles and some to be evangelists and some to be, you know, pastors and teachers and then it says for the equipping of the saints. That's what the next verse says, for the equipping of the saints. So when we have these people that have been gifted to do those kind of things, it's to equip the others so they can grow up in the Lord. You know, we all have to grow up in the Lord. In fact, who has Hebrews 6, 1 to 2, and that's crazy, it jumps to 9 to 12. I put it, I didn't want you to read the whole thing. I just wanted the person to read verses 1 and 2, and then 9 to 12.
I have it.
Okay.
Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And then skipping to verse 9. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown in his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
So in there, if you read that, it sounds like helping the saints and doing all that might be secondary. Did you get that? I mean, that sounds terrible, but did you understand? He says, God still likes the fact that you're doing all that, but let's go forward. is what that's saying. And when you first become a Christian, you're not prepared maybe to go out and share. God's still teaching you all the instructions. The Bible is full of instructions for our character and for how we should live and how we should act, and that's wonderful. And I think the disciples learned that for 3 years. I mean, you know, and so we can't expect everybody maybe to go out right away, but it's something we're supposed to go into maturity. And there's verses about where it says, be ye perfect. Well, that word for perfect doesn't mean be sinless. It means to mature. And that's what we're supposed to do. He doesn't want us to remain babes. You know, he wants us to mature. And so we have to grow on and we have to mature, because when we mature, we're going to be able to do more and more, because Christ is going to grow in us. This exchanged life is going to be less of us and more of him. And we're going to be able to fulfill what God really, really wants us to do. And that is to go out and make disciples. Go out and tell everybody the gospel. I mean, it's so important. I mean, even in Romans, you know, when he's talking about how, you know, we have to love the Lord with all of our heart, you know, and those who accept him. And but yet it says a few verses down that how are they going to hear without a preacher? I mean, you know, in a way, we all need to become preachers. We all need to become evangelists in some way. And it doesn't mean you can stand on a pulpit, but if you just can share what Christ has been doing in your life. And that's one of the things that God got my attention before I became a Christian. When we moved around the country, I was 29 when we moved to Arkansas. And it was a Bible Belt. And the church we went to down there, there were as many people in adult Sunday school as there was in the church. I never saw anything like it. And I met friends. They didn't act like religious fanatics, but they had a relationship I didn't have. I mean, the one friend that she had 4 kids and I just had my 4th one. One day she said, you know, I didn't really want to do this, but I prayed about it and I felt like God wanted me to. And I thought, I don't pray about things. I make decisions because I want to do it, you know, or else it looks good to do it, or my husband wanted me to do it. And she planted a big seed in my life because I knew she had a relationship with God that I did not have. And that just planted a seed in my life. And so from that, you know, then we moved. And when we moved, my lands, I had this religious fanatic come across the street and tell me that I was going to go to hell. And I thought I was such a goody-goody, because she said, you don't really believe in the Bible. You know, you have to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength. And she didn't believe in wearing pants. She didn't believe in dancing. She didn't believe in all this stuff. She was a legalistic, but still, I thought she was a religious fanatic. But yet, God sent her. I really believe God sent her. He knew I needed that. I needed to be shaken up because I was such a goody-goody. I didn't smoke even. I didn't drink any. It wasn't because of religious reasons. I just never did. It was crazy. I was a good wife and mother, I thought. I loved my kids. If anybody went to heaven, surely I'd go to heaven. You know, that's how the world thinks. But we all need a Savior. We all have a sin nature. And then Harry, when he started going to a church up in Wilmington, the assistant pastor told him, well, you don't have to believe in a virgin birth. You can still be a Christian and join the church. What kind of church was that? I mean, you know, it's crazy out there. But we're blessed in this room because we've learned so much. And we've had wonderful teachers and we've had wonderful Christian friends. And we're just blessed. But there's so many people, you know, Jesus, he's so compassionate. And I think I gave that the last scripture. Let's see. Who has Matthew 9:36-38?
I do. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send our workers into the harvest. Send out workers into the harvest.
Now, this has to mean that God is the Lord of the harvest. And he's really saying, pray. You know, that's something we all need to do. We really need to pray that God will send forth. Pray that God will send you forth. Pray for divine appointments. I call them divine appointments when you have an opportunity to sit next to somebody. Like one time on a plane, you know, I had prayed. I said, Lord, just give me divine appointments. If you want, I'll tell people about you. And I sat next to this person, And I don't know how the Lord opened a door by him saying something. And honey, I got to preach my testimony to this person and share. That was a divine appointment. Do you understand? And when I married Al, before I married Al, well, most of you, a lot of you knew my first husband, Harry. My wonderful husband of 53 years. And then after 2.5 years of widowship, you know, I became married again. And it put me in a whole different world, because with Harry and I, all of our friends were Christian friends. All of our activities were involved with Christian activities, you know, with other Christians. And I really, you know, didn't get to meet a lot of new people that needed the Lord. But when I married Al, we started traveling to these engine shows, and I had an opportunity to share the Lord with so many people. And it just came up, and I actually can say, I can think of 3 or 4 people that really got saved. Isn't that wonderful? And if I hadn't married Al, maybe that wouldn't have happened. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'd have to trust that he used that, you know, and he even used me. This is crazy, and I can't take any credit, but one time they had church there, and we would go to the church on Sunday. Not every all the campers did, but they would all walk up to this building, and there was a little group of people that were going to do the service, but it was mostly a singing service. He just said like a prayer, and then they started singing all these Christian songs, and I'm sitting there, and this is supposed to be church. Where's the word of God? I was really upset because nobody was sharing any scripture, you know. And finally, I raised my hand and said, can I share a scripture? And they told me to come forth. And so I went up on the little stage, and I shared a scripture, and I brought it into one of the songs that they had just sung. And I'm sharing this, and that led, and then and I started to get down. They said, no, wait, who are you? Tell us about yourself. And so I went back up there, and I shared about, you know, some of my testimony and all this stuff, and I shared about how, and it was a new world for me and a new situation, but how God had put me here, I felt. And anyway, at the end of that service, instead of people, they all came to shake my hand and thank me. And I felt, it was like I was a pastor or something. It was crazy. But I'm thinking, Lord, you know, you use that. And there was at least 50 people. There wasn't a lot, but there was probably 50 people out there. And so God uses things. You know, he can open doors for you if you're just bold enough to go through them. And I know I could be too bold sometimes. I'm sure I've turned a lot of people off, but I got turned off and God used it, and I pray he used it. But anyway, it's just, with so much, we just have to look for opportunities and pray for opportunities, and just in faith, just go out and share what God's done for you. You know, it's important. And we can all take a mental spiritual walk, because you have to have compassion. Jesus' heart was breaking for those people. Does your heart break for those that don't know you? I can remember Billy Graham, I think one time, said that if you saw somebody headed toward this terrible cliff and you knew they were going to go to their death, wouldn't you try to stop them? You know, but a lot of these people, we get disgusted with all these people. I know during the political scene, I was disgusted the way that people were acting, but I should have had compassion. They don't know. It's like Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he needs this church. He needs his body. And that's what he needs us for. So I just want to encourage you all really to seek his will every day, because his will is that everybody come to know the Lord. And there's just, the laborers are few. We need to pray. And are there other scriptures I've given that I forgot to get somebody to read? I'm sorry.
It's funny. It's one of the ones that reminds me of Charles. But I'll read this one, and then it's real close to the other one. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And if I could read this, that always reminds me of Charles, is 2 Corinthians 3:16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord,
are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit.
There's another one I gave that's very important, and this just wonderful. You'll love it. It's Acts 26, 14 to 18. Didn't I give that to somebody?
I think that might be here. Thank you so much.
Acts 26, 14 to 18. Did I give that to anybody? I can't believe I didn't give that to anybody.
I think that was yours.
No.
Somebody, this is such a wonderful, wonderful. It's
what is it? Acts what?
Acts 26, 14 to 18. And actually, we should say verse through 14 to 19.
And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
And then 19, did you read 19?
Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we really have all been called, so to speak. But this was a special calling to Paul, but it's a wonderful calling, God. And he's called all of us, and, you know, and if we really seek his will and his word, he's going to continue to lead you and guide you and lead you to do his will. It's his will. I want to do. I want to do his will. We have our own will, but his will is what we're called to do. And that's to make disciples, to share the gospel. You got to read the word. So that's all that I really have. Has anybody got more they'd like to add to this?
I just wanted to add another scripture, and I had read it. I had written it in Patty and Pete's as their maid of honor. I had written a little letter to them, but with some scriptures, but I think it flows with what you're saying. And it's again in 2 Corinthians. It says, You are our letter, written into our hearts, known and read by all men. That's pretty amazing to me. And then being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts.
You were talking about the quick thing. I watched several months ago, like short testimonies of people involved in 9/11. I mean, it's heartbreaking, you know. They still, to this day, you know, they hear, like the one guy, he's like, I hear those screams every night before I go to bed and when I wake up. And I just thought to myself, if we had been in that building and we knew these planes are coming, wouldn't we tell as many people as we possibly can? And yet there is something so much worse coming, and how often are we warning people? You know what I mean? Because that day is coming. Do we really believe that? You know, I also, see, I'm kind of, on one hand, I think we need to be telling people, and if nothing else, we can have tracks. Make sure they're good tracks, you know, not the fleshly appealing ones. You know what I'm saying. There's really good ones, planettracks.com. But go to the grocery store. you know, be really kind to the person. You know what I mean? Because I met somebody that was saved from a tract. You know, you just don't know. But I also know it says, how will they preach unless they are sent out, right? And I know I've done a lot of things in the flesh, but I'll share something real quick just because it's cool, the sovereignty of God. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I pray something, but I told the Lord recently, I said, I'm not going, like, unless you do it, like, I don't want to do anything in the flesh anymore. And anyway, Kyle and I left church, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Anyway, and we stopped at Rural Farms, and he got an extra box of fries. He doesn't know if he accidentally got them or if he paid for them, but he got an extra box. He's like, Mom, do you want them? And I was like, okay. But then we saw, like, some guy just sitting on the curb. I said, well, roll down your window, you know, ask him. And he said, yeah, well, we got to talking a little bit, and I guess he was getting high again, and he was clean for 4 years. Anyway, and then I shared a little bit about Christ, and I gave him the Gospel of John and all that. But this was the coolest thing. So the fries, the two sovereign things I see, the fries, he said literally just a few minutes before that, he said something came up, a verse, like something came up about Jesus on his phone. He doesn't even know how it happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, the timing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that is so cool, you know? So.
Were you able to share, like, a little bit of your testimony?
A little bit, yeah.
I was just going to say, I've always been, like, since I was young, very nervous to share the gospel with others, especially people that don't have a relationship with the Lord or know the Lord. I'm like, oh, what if I say something wrong or they're turned away, things like that. And I've always, like, been convicted about that and regretted, like, missing those opportunities. And since Ryan's miracle, I've always known the Lord as, like, a miracle maker, but I've never, like, truly seen it until the thing with Ryan happened. And I was so excited after that to share. And when I would have a feeling on my heart to share, I wanted to. And I did end up taking those opportunities. And one thing that really encouraged me is after Ryan's miracle, I was working with a girl in a special needs, not special needs school, but just kindergarten, and she was special needs. And I had no idea if the teacher was saved or not, but I just felt like a tugging on my heart to share Ryan's miracle with her and just the gospel and things. And I don't know why it was her specifically. I just felt that need.
The mom.
I shared with the mom after too. Oh, but I'm, okay. This is the teacher. Oh. And I went up and I shared what happened. And the Lord is so faithful. And her father-in-law actually had the same disease, pulmonary fibrosis, the same thing. Mm. And like, I was able to share the doctor that he found, the father-in-law's in California, and I'm like, wow, God, like, how amazing. Like, if I just ignored that calling, who knew? Like, just the way that he uses things, and it's like, you never know, but not only we can plant seeds that we don't even know about, and we don't even know how he uses us in our testimony, but then when you do have the bravery to share and you listen to what God is saying, then you just see the ways that God uses it and how he works. And it's like, out of all the people, like, she had that situation with that same disease. And she said, I'm definitely sharing this to my father-in-law and the doctor, and who knows how the Lord will use that. But it just was, that was just something that I just thought, like, wow, God is so good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm proud of you, Sarah.
Oh, thank you.
Well, wasn't it you that, and might have been Hannah, but wasn't it you, I recall, that got bullied in school for inviting someone to come with you to church or to a church camp?
I think that was
Hannah.
Hannah?
She said that she was
you know Sammy Bonsell?
No.
Sammy Bonsell loved
me. She was in plays and musicals and everything.
No,
she was a dancer and she was in chorus. So that's that I invited her to church, and she said in front of whoever else was there, if you ever invite me to church again, I will slit your throat.
Yes, that's the story.
Okay, heard.
Noted.
Tell the rest of the story.
I don't even know. I think you remember
she
it better.
Yeah, didn't you?
She did become best friends with me on Jack and ask me questions
say
about
later,
the Lord.
Like, you're my best friend. You're like,
she told me, she said, your sister is my best friend. She said, nobody goes against my best friend. I'm like, okay, Lord. Wow.
Like,
yeah.
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 Yeah. I hate to see your enemies.
I'm just trying not to get my throat slit.
Well, that's one thing I didn't bring out. You know, ministering and witnessing can be costly. It cost all the original disciples their lives. I mean, you know, Harry used to have a book about that. I don't know what happened to it, where they had tried to figure out what happened to the 12 disciples. You know, one went to India, and he eventually was, I think, speared to death. That might have been Thomas, I think, who went to India. And then another one went to Germany. They went different places. They really did go out, and they believed it so much they're willing to die for it. And it's pretty, one was put into a log and sawed in two, they say. I don't remember which one that was supposed to be, but so it can be costly. You know, you might lose friends. You might be criticized by even your family. In fact, I think Jesus even said, someday, you know, your enemies, your members of your own family would hate you and maybe turn.
But not one hair right. on your head.
Yeah, okay.
Well, one thing I thought about when you shared about how that congregation came up to
yeah.
you, I immediately thought they were very hungry.
Yeah.
And the fact that you shared scripture, and that I think that's why they're sitting in a church
yeah.
and they're not getting fed.
Yeah. That's right.
And they're very hungry, and then you fed them.
Yeah.
yeah.
The Lord's good.
Yeah.
yeah. And then I was going to say, how you opened, like, the Lord's will is the will of the Father, and how I do nothing on my own initiative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, yesterday, saying, you know, it's vertical first and then
mm-hmm.
horizontal.
Right.
And we know, how did he know what the Father's will was, and he does nothing of his own because he had that relationship, that
mm-hmm.
prayer time, that communication. And that's exactly right. Like, he does nothing on our own initiative, and that's why the Lord wants to use us in ministry, but it has to be vertical first. It has to be our relationship with him. Like you said, I don't want to do it in the flesh. I want to be led. So it's vertical, and then we know his will. When we're moved, if we're in tune here, then it'll come, you know. So it just all fits together. It's so neat how the Lord works.
That book from Watchman Nee, I think the men were reading it, and I happened to get it.
Sit, Walk,
Sit, Walk,
Stand.
And Stand.
Yes, that was really an eye opener.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's an amazing book.
Ephesians. When I moved, Harry had countless books, volumes, and commentaries, and before I invited people to come in and take everything, I decided I was just going to take a sample of certain things that had been special, books that had been really signed with little notes from different people, you know, that we really thought the world of. I had letters, personal letters from Stephen Kong and Lance to us, and I put all these little things in a box because I wanted to take them to the new house, and I put them out, and I thought I put them out with the other boxes that were going to my house. That whole box disappeared. It never arrived at my house. It's not at the other house. It must have been taken to Halo or someplace by mistake because I never got it. And I thought, Lord, I just wanted this thing so badly, but I guess I didn't need them. Maybe I was putting too much attention on mementos and things. I don't know. But
or the Lord wants
someone else.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I learned this, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if you guys already knew this, but the disciples, they were hated. They were considered atheists. Did you guys know that? That and it was because, like, the Gentiles, they worshiped so many pagan gods. And so, you know, and so they're looked at as, like, evil. Like, they're in the wrong, you know. Same with, like, and so many of these persecuted, they're called infidels. They are considered evil. And even, like, here, sometimes people, like, they get angry, and they think that you are evil or bad because now you're offending them. Just let them believe. But the truth is, if we really love them, we're going to tell them the truth. We know what's coming, you know. But it really does get twisted in their minds where they really do believe that. Like, not all of them. A lot of them, like, a lot of them seem to, you know, but some people, you know,
they're very offended and they're very angry. Like now you are partially offending them. Like, well, just keep it to yourself. You know, we just let everyone believe. And anyway, but it's interesting how it's twisted like that. You know,